you will, turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, as we consider this morning the Lord's first ordinance for His church. The Lord's first ordinance for His church. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the day. We thank You for Your blessings, Your goodness towards us. And Lord, we pray that You'd help us, that we would worship You today in spirit and in truth. We thank You for the way You've blessed already. Lord, we praise Your name for Your goodness towards us. We thank You for salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, all Your many blessings and benefits unto us, Lord, they are without number, and we praise Your name for them. We pray, Father, that even this morning, that You would visit some sinner that's here today and not saved. Lord, You know who they are. You know their need. And we pray, Father, that You might reveal Christ unto them. Lord, work in them and open their hearts, open their eyes, open their ears, Lord, that they might see Jesus. We pray, Father, that You would just help and bless in it. Help us as we look into Your Word. Speak to us through it, Father, and help us that all the cares of life, all those things that so easily beset us and distract our hearts and minds, Lord, help us that all those things would be laid aside. Take them away from us, that we might focus upon You and Your Word at this time. Help now, we pray and bless. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for His sake. Amen. Here in Matthew chapter 27, we'll read one of the accounts here in the Gospels about the death of our Savior. The Lord's first ordinance for His church. Matthew chapter 27, verse 27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto Him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped Him and put on Him a scarlet robe. And when they had platted a crown of thorns, they put it upon His head, and a reed in His right hand. And they bowed the knee before Him and mocked Him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit upon Him and took the reed and smote Him on the head. And after that they had mocked Him, they took the robe off from Him and put His own raiment on Him and led Him away to crucify Him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear His cross. And when they were come into the place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave Him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when He had tasted thereof, He would not drink. And they crucified Him and parted His garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, "They parted My garments among them, and upon My vesture did they cast lots." And sitting down, they watched Him there, and set up over His head His accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then were there two thieves crucified with Him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled Him, wagging their heads and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save Thyself. If Thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests, mocking Him with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others, Himself He cannot save. If He be the King of Israel, let Him come down from the cross, and we will believe Him. He trusted in God. Let Him deliver Him now, if He will have Him. For He said, 'I am the Son of God.'" The thieves also, which were crucified with Him, cast the same in His teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour, from noon till 3 p.m. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is to say, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me?" Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man calleth for Elias." And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on the reed and gave it him to drink. The rest said, "Let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him." Jesus, when He had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly this was the Son of God." And turn your attention to Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15. The accounts in the Gospels all telling different details about the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In verse number 16, we pick it up. The scripture says, "And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band. And they clothed him with purple, and platted a crown of thorns, and put it about his head, and began to salute him, 'Hail, King of the Jews!' And they smote him on the head with a reed, and did spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him, and put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. And they compel one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring him into the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of his accusation was written over, 'The King of the Jews.' And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand, the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, 'He was numbered with the transgressors.' And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, 'Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross.' Likewise also the chief priests, mocking, said among themselves with the scribes, 'He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe.' And they that were crucified with him reviled him. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour." Again, from noon till 3 p.m. The account of the time here is different. Some of the Gospels tell about how the Hebrews, the Jews, counted time. Others give account, I believe it's here in Mark, give an account about how the Romans accounted time. But it's still the same time of the day, even though those references are different. Verse 34, "And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' which is being interpreted, 'My God, why hast thou forsaken me?' And some of them that stood by, when they heard it, said, 'Behold, he calleth Elias.' And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar, and put it on a reed, and gave him to drink, saying, 'Let alone, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down.' And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost, and the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion, which stood over against him, saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, 'Truly, this man was the Son of God.'" And then we turn your attention to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. We'll pick it up here in verse number 26. Luke 23, verse 26. "And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him laid they the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. And Jesus, turning unto them, said, 'Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming, in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bare, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself, if he be the Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar and saying, if thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Verse 43, and Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. And we turn your attention to John chapter 19. John 19, and we pick it up in verse number 13. John 19, 13. When Pilate, therefore, heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour he said unto the Jews, behold your king. And they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, we have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priest of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture did they cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, and the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to his disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Here we've read in the four Gospels the account of the Lord Jesus Christ's death. This event took place some 2,000 years ago, plus or minus. You and I weren't there, but these accounts are given to us in the Scripture. And being a child of God myself, and it's the case with you that are here and saved, you believe that these things took place. You believe that Jesus did these things. Not only do you believe it from the standpoint of a part of history, as many, many in the world do believe it as a point of history, but we who are saved believe it that Jesus did that for us. Jesus did these things that are written here in the Scriptures for this poor sinner. He did that for me. When he was on that cross, he was thinking about Jim Duke. And I know that. I know that by faith. I believe that and receive that by faith, that Jesus did what I could not do for myself. He did that for me. It's personal, isn't it? It's right here in our hearts, right here in our souls. It is by what Jesus has done here that I have been saved. That you that are here, that claim the name of Christ, the way by which you have been saved, by what Jesus has done. You that are here in our midst and that are without Christ, that are not saved, we point you to Jesus and what he's done. This, by what he has done, is the only way that you can be saved. Repent of your sins. Admit before God that you're guilty, that you need this applied to you, your life, your soul, your sins, and trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done. The Lord Jesus Christ, he knew that he was going to do this for a long, long time, didn't he? Matter of fact, he knew he was going to do this really from eternity past, as we refer to it. The Lord had determined that he would do this for his people before there ever was time, before there ever was a creation. The Lord Jesus knew that he would do this. I turn your attention to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. And we have here the account in the Scripture, the Lord Jesus knowing what he's going to do, dealing with his church there in Jerusalem that he has gathered to himself. Not a group of people that have in and of themselves decided to follow with the Lord, but those that have been called by the Lord. They have been shown their need. They've been shown their sins. They've trusted in Christ. They have been called by the Lord Jesus into service in his church. And they're there at Jerusalem, and the Lord Jesus Christ has been caring for them and building his church and teaching them and ministering unto them for 3 years. And he knows in just a few days, matter of fact, the next day, that he's going to fulfill that which he was sent to do. And in Luke chapter 22, in verse number 7, we read, Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, Jesus did, he sent Peter and John, Go prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. And they said unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, Behold, when you are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And ye shall say unto the goodman of the house, The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished. There make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Here the Lord instituting from the Passover, he said, with desire, he has desired to eat the Passover with them. And I think he's looking forward to fulfilling it. It'll be the last time that the Passover would be observed looking forward to the Savior. It would be the last time that he would observe it on this earth until we're there together in his eternal kingdom, however the Lord's going to do those things. And then he also looked forward to instituting the Lord's Supper, because the Lord knows he's going to save Gentiles. The Lord knows that his church is going to flourish and grow, and there's going to be other churches that is going to come from this church in Jerusalem. And the Lord is establishing an ordinance that we can remember what he's done for us in. Not an ordinance that saves us in any way. Not an ordinance that fulfills our salvation in any way. Not an ordinance that keeps us saved. But just simply a memorial that we can observe to remember Jesus dying for us. That he died for us. That he gave his life. That he, considering us and calling us his friends, gave his life for his friends, for his brethren, for his children. This do in remembrance of me. That's the purpose for it. That's the reason for it, to remember that Jesus died for us. Likewise, also the cup, verse 20, after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Jesus is serious about this. He has sealed, he has confirmed this testament of him giving himself for his people's sins, and giving himself his life, his body, his soul, his blood. He has sealed what he has done and purposed to do for his people, for us, for we that are here and saved. He sealed it and signed it in his own blood. He's serious about it. Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only human sacrifice that ever made a difference. Amen. And praise God, he was willing to do so for us. In Mark chapter 14, we see here yet another account. Just in few verses, it tells us a little bit more about the Lord instituting the Lord's Supper for us. And in Mark chapter 14, we pick it up in verse number 22. And as they did eat, that is eating the Passover, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it and gave to them and said, Take, eat, this is my body. Not really his body. He doesn't mean that, because Jesus died once. But he's saying this is representative of my body. Okay? The Lord Jesus Christ was crucified and died once. He was offered once. That's all it took. He's such a great sacrifice, such a great Savior, such a great atoner, if you will. He only had to die once for sinners' sins. And when he died once, because he's God, he could do nothing else but raise again from the dead. He could not be held down because the Lord is life. He is life and light. He says to them here in verse 22, take, eat, this is my body, or representative of my body. There are those that believe that that bread is really the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. If that is the case, then when the Lord's Supper is observed, Jesus is crucified again. And the book of Hebrews says it's a shame to crucify Jesus again. How could we think that we could crucify Jesus again? It was the Lord that offered himself. Yes, he was delivered into the hands of wicked men. And there is a sense in which we were there also, representing humanity and our hatred of God. We were there being guilty of the Lord Jesus Christ being crucified. We needed him to be so for our sins. It's the only way we could be redeemed. But he was crucified once, not over and over and over again. This thing of Catholicism and the masses that they observe, that's what Mass is talking about. Jesus dying. Anytime you ever see that word Mass, I read about a woman who had been killed recently, and her Mass is going to be tomorrow. When the Universalist or those in Catholicism observe Mass, they're observing the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. They believe the bread is really his body. They believe that the wine is really his blood. But it's not. Jesus has given his body, and he did it once there on Calvary some 2,000 years ago. The bread represents his body, and that is the way that it is. He says, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, verse 23, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. He's made a promise. That cup and the wine that is there in the cup, it represents his blood. It is not his blood because Jesus does not need to be crucified anymore. He has given his life, given his body, given his blood, poured out his soul unto death once. But we are given this ordinance to remember that he has done so for us. We need to be reminded. We need to be reminded. Often we need to be reminded about what the scriptures say, because we learn a thing and we rejoice in it. We're blessed by it. But because of this existence that we have yet, and this old mind and this old body, we forget, don't we? And we need to be reminded about the scripture. Well, the Lord has made this institution so we can be reminded of his death. And we can be reminded together in church capacity. He said he's also made a promise. He's not going to do this anymore. He's not going to partake of this anymore till we're there together with him in his kingdom. Why would the Lord wait on us? Doesn't the scripture tell us to tarry one for another? To desire to be together. The condemnation of the church at Corinth in respect to the Lord's Supper is that they didn't wait on each other. They went out and observed it individually, or thought that they were, and tried to do so. Tarry one for another. The Lord is, if you will, tarrying for us. He's waiting for us till we're gathered together with him to observe and participate in this again. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul expounds upon this. This church here, having had trouble, they've got many things that they're dealing with. They're a church filled with people, and as people are, we still have our sin. We still have things, our baggage, and things that we deal with, and things that we're trying to get past. Where we have and should be having the addition of those things that Brother Doug is bringing out in his Sunday school lesson of virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and charity being added to our faith. And we struggle and wrestle with this old flesh, and we sin, and we ask the Lord to forgive us, and he brings us along and we grow. And this church was in that same boat. And the apostle didn't quit on them. But he instructed them how, and instructed them in a right, good way. And we pick it up in verse number 23 of 1 Corinthians 11. And he tells again what he has received and that he has delivered unto them. In 1 Corinthians 11, 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." In remembrance of me. That's the purpose, to remember. And he says, "Take, eat, this is my body. The bread is not the body of the Lord." It represents his body. Well, Brother Jim, it says, "Take, eat, this is my body." But we know by the other passages and we know by other scriptures that it is not literally the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a token to represent the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 25, "After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." And so there is his blood, the cup, the wine that represents his blood. And when we take it, when we observe it, we need to observe it in remembrance of him. He goes on here and we read, "For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." So he tells the purpose to show his death, the one time that he died, not him being crucified and dying over and over and over again, but the Lord's one death, the one time that he died. "Ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." Unworthily. We're all sinners. We do continue to sin. We're saved sinners. But we might partake of the Lord's Supper in an irreverent way, like Corinth was. They were turning it into a meal. They were turning it, rather than a memorial to remember the Lord, they were turning it into a fellowship dinner. And that's not the purpose of it. It's not a time for us to take nourishment to our bodies. Lord willing, when we dismiss from the services this afternoon, we'll break for lunch, and it is then that we'll feed our bodies with the nourishment that we need. But that's not the purpose of the Lord's Supper. The purpose is to remember his death. Right? To remember his death till he comes. The Lord wants us to do this. He doesn't want us to be fearful of it, but we do need to have a sense of reverence about it. Drink unworthily. Maybe you think that I hope you don't, but maybe one would think, and there are those that do, that partaking of the Lord's Supper keeps their salvation. You're drinking unworthily. You're participating unworthily. You misunderstand what it's all about, and we'll get to that as we go down through here. Guilty of his body, this word unworthily is, if one does so unworthily, participates unworthily, they'll be guilty of his body and his blood. Do you want to be guilty of putting the Lord to an open shame and crucifying him again in your heart? No, we remember that he did so. We remember him that he did so. "Wherefore," verse 27, "whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself." He said, this is what we should do. Examine ourselves. "And so let him eat." And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. The Lord is not given us this that we might refrain from it perpetually. If we're refraining from it perpetually, we're doing so and we're actually sinning against the Lord in that. What we need to do is examine ourselves, get our lives right, get our hearts right, confess our sins before the Lord. And if there's sin that we're harboring before the Lord and we're just perpetually in that sin and it's not known to anybody but us and the Lord, well, may we depart from that and be reconciled to the Lord in it. Repent of it and get reconciled to the Lord in that. If you're harboring something in your heart, if you and I are harboring something in our heart that we know about and the Lord knows about, well, the Lord will deal with us. And so we need to examine ourselves. And we need to so eat. Yo, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, hear this, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. Not that your salvation in the Lord Jesus is going to be wiped out. That word damnation is a strong word, but it's the same word that in verse number 34, condemnation. What is it when we're condemned to the Lord? I'm told I'm guilty. I'm told that I've crossed the Lord. Joseph, when he doesn't do what his daddy says, his father condemns him. Okay? He says, son, you're wrong. And maybe he gives him a swat or maybe he punishes him somehow. And that's what this is. We bring the chastisement of the Lord. This is speaking only to saved people. Okay? We bring, if we do so unworthily, we bring chastisement of the Lord upon us. To an array of varying degree. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. Here's the point. Not discerning the Lord's body. Discernment of the Lord's body. What was the purpose of the Lord's body? To be an atonement. To be a sacrifice. To be a redeeming atonement. To be a propitiation. The one upon which the punishment of my sin would be laid upon and suffered by. That's the reason for his body. We observe the Lord's Supper to think that it saves us. It's Jesus that saves. Amen? It's not the Lord's Supper that saves. It's not an ordinance that we do that saves. It's not baptism that saves. It's Jesus that saves. If I look and consider that the Lord's Supper is going to keep me saved, no, it's Jesus that keeps me saved. See? The supper is to remember that he's died for us. And so let us not be thinking wrong about the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper, if I seek to observe the Lord's Supper to absolve me from sin, to make my sin go away. I'm not discerning the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's by Jesus that I'm forgiven. And John speaks to us in his epistles. In 1 John, if I say that I don't have any sin, I'm a liar. I'm pastor of the church. And if I say that I have no sin, I'm a liar. The truth isn't in me. Oh, but praise be to God, because the Savior has saved me. If I'll confess my sin before the Lord, he's faithful and just to forgive me of my sins. And he said he'll cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Amen. It's by Jesus. But the Lord's Supper is to remember his death, that he gave his life for the likes of me. Discerning the Lord's body correctly. That's what we need to do. We need to understand the purpose of the supper. Let us not be thinking that we crucify the Lord again. It says in Hebrews 6:6, as I've referred to earlier, that crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. If Jesus needs to be crucified again, then what he did some 2,000 years ago was of none effect. But it was of effect, wasn't it? And it was the only time that it's needed. And the thing is, the Lord lives forevermore. Jesus died once and lives forevermore. Praise be to God for his power and his greatness. And then in verse number 30, for this cause, this lack of discernment of the Lord's body, this lack of irreverence about the supper, this lack of not reckoning the Lord's supper and the purpose of it, remembrance of him twice over in verses 24 and 25, because for this cause many are weak. Maybe physically weak, maybe spiritually weak, and sickly, maybe physically sick or spiritually sick. Who's going to know? You and the Lord. I can't know. I can't know. The apostle indicates that it's so, but does he know? Only you and the Lord know. Only you and I and the I know about me. Only you and the Lord know about you. For this cause, this lack of discernment, this irreverence about the Lord's Supper, the wrong purpose for observing it, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Yeah, the Lord, even without church discipline, has called some on to glory with Him because of that. Maybe the leaders or the ramrods or some those of the Lord there in that church that were maybe even following after a Nicolaitan way. Only they and the Lord know. So the Lord will deal with us. But let us examine ourselves, verse number 28, and so let us eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And so it goes on here. The Lord will chastise us if we need it. May we repent before Him and not be in need of chastisement. Verse number 31, for if we would judge ourselves, introspection, that's what you needed to have been done, doing, is soul searching yourself. You have sin in your life. Is there anything that you're harboring personally? For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. We won't have the Lord to have to deal with us if we repent and get right with Him. And it won't be necessary that the church deal with us either. Right? And we will have peace. Peace with the Lord and peace in His church. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. Chastened of the Lord directly. Chastened of the Lord through the church. That we should not be condemned with the world. Because the Lord says in Hebrews, those that are His, He chastens. The Lord doesn't let any of His kids off the hook. Hear that? The Lord doesn't let any of us that are His off the hook. He deals with us as we need it. Verse number 33, wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. We do it together. We observe it as a church. And we observe it for the right purpose. We examine ourselves and we examine the church collectively, and we come and eat and participate in this together.